Stop judging. You know, if we are honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that we all have been guilty as charged. We often judge by outward appearance. We judge someone without knowing all the facts. We judge someone based on what someone else told us, getting secondhand information. We judge a person. We judge by criticizing and condemning someone for what they said. We judge others by assuming or wrongly interpreting something someone said, did, or didn't do. And this can happen a lot in families and marriages between husbands and wives. You know, here's a couple that's going to be renewing their vows. They've been committed to each other for 25 years. I'm sure you've had your differences, you know, in those 25 years. No one can go through 25 years and not have some differences. But somehow they found a way to stay together. But I would say the sin of judging, criticizing, and condemning has caused more division in a congregation than anything else. It's destroyed more marriages, more relationships and families than we could ever imagine. And so this is the appointed time of the year, the month of Elul, to examine our hearts. Because the Word of God says that one day that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. And we will all give an account for what we have said or done, for the deeds that we've done, good or bad. And that's why Paul says, therefore, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. But having said this, I want to clarify something very important. The Scriptures do not forbid God's people from judging one another. The Scriptures are very clear that believers do have the right to judge, but when you do, be sure that you're doing it with the right attitude. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, Moses said that they're to judge the people with righteous judgment. That says that in this morning's Torah portion. Yeshua affirmed this in John 7:24 when he said, "Do not judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." And in 1 Samuel 16, Lord said he commissioned Samuel to choose a king for Israel after King Saul had fallen. He does not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's all about what is in the heart. And only God knows what are the motives of our hearts. And the New Covenant Scriptures have a lot to say about judging one another with righteous judgment. And one that is in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, a scripture that we've all read many times before. But it's often misunderstood. Yeshua said, "Stop judging so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Another translation says, "For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is a standard by which you will be judged. Why do you look at a speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice a beam in your own? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and look, the beam is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first take the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, many take the scripture out of context. You know, how many times have we heard someone say, "The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You don't have a right to judge me. Don't judge me. Only God can judge." But when Yeshua says, "Stop judging," He's not issuing a prohibition of judging others. He's issuing a serious warning to take care in how we judge others. Judging is not sinful, but judging with a critical heart is. Then in context, the key word in Yeshua's teaching on judging is hypocrite. Now, how many of us are guilty of having sin in our own lives and believe that we have a right to correct and judge someone else for sin in their life? We are being hypocritical. We're being like a white sepulcher. We may look and sound good on the outside, but inside is a different story. As Yeshua said to those who were accusing the woman caught in adultery, "He is without sin, let him be the first one to cast a stone. So it's not wrong to lovingly correct or help a brother to remove a harmful speck from his eye, but it's wrong to self-righteously point out a speck in your brother's eye while a log is protruding from your own. Yeshua's plan placing a red blinking warning sign, proceed with caution, judge at your own risk. It's meant to give serious pause and examine ourselves first before judging someone else. You know, our fallen nature can be very selfish, proud, and deceitful. We tend to judge ourselves more kindly than we do others. We're a lot more lenient and tolerant on ourselves, but we tend to judge others severely and harshly. John Wesley said, I have some quotes here. Oh, that one here. So let me get this straight. If I repeat what God says in the Bible, I'm judging you. But John Wesley said, we should be rigorous in judging ourselves and gracious in judging others. That's a good quote. We should be gracious in judging others, be rigorous in judging ourselves, but gracious in judging ourselves. By judging others, you make yourself easy to judge. Then people who judge others tell more about who they are than who they judge. Yeshua takes judgment very seriously. He is the righteous judge who is full of grace, mercy, and truth. And he does not judge by appearance, but with righteous judgment. Every judgment that he pronounces issues from his loving nature of justice and righteousness. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. That's what this Torah portion impresses upon us. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. You know, this week's portion emphasizes that justice is the foundation of the Torah and the rule of law, the rule of Torah. God required that Israel be a nation characterized by righteousness, by integrity, honesty, and charity. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous, the tzaddikim, thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Where there's no justice, there's no appreciation for the right of every human being to be treated with fairness, with respect, and kindness. In our court systems today, there is testimony after testimony of miscarriage of justice. Where is justice today in our court systems? We hear about this every day in the news. It said the scriptures say that those who oppress, mistreat, or take advantage of others, especially orphans, widows, and strangers, are the enemies of God and man. And so as believers, we must recognize the difference between the kind of judging the Word of God forbids, that of being a self-appointed judge that pronounces guilty verdicts on other believers' lives without proper due process, because there is a proper process we need to go through in the scriptures. Yeshua described that in Matthew 18. And the kind of judging that the Word of God encourages us to pursue. So there's there is a judging in the Word of God, and we follow God's Word correctly, then we can judge with a good conscience. To rightly judge means to weigh, to discern, to search out, to examine, and evaluate how someone is behaving, what they believe or are teaching, to determine whether they are saying what they're saying is true, or if their lives line up to the Word of God. There are two types of judging described in the Scriptures. Number one is being judgmental, which is being critical and condemning of others. And I see a lot of that happening today. And then learning how to judge objectively, accurately, factually, impartially, discerning the difference between truth and error. The word judge that Yeshua used in Matthew 7, you know, comes from a Greek word meaning krino. And the meaning of this word is understood both as examining evidence and the pronouncement of judgment. And the use of this word in the New Covenant includes the office of a judge who undergoes the process of a trial, passing sentence, condemning, and executing judgment. This is what Moses was taught in Matthew 16. But in the Amplified Bible, Yeshua's words to judge not are implied to mean do not judge, criticize, and condemn. Do not judge, criticize, and condemn. These three words reflect the type of attitude of judging that a believer must not do. Because, you know, this judging often begins with a critical attitude and it concludes with a negative judgment. According to Yeshua, no believer has a right to judge his brother from a hypocritical and self-righteous motivation, you know, to find out his faults and then criticize and condemn them. And sometimes this can happen very quickly. You know, just out of the mouth, you can just speak something very condemning and very critical because our flesh just speaks out very quickly. And sometimes we could say something and then we realize after what we've said and we regret what we said. But we have a responsibility to control what we do say. Because what we do say can hurt and harm a person. The context of what Yeshua meant in Matthew 7 is that a judgmental man recognizes other people's faults and condemns them, but he refuses to acknowledge his own faults, which sometimes can be far worse. The beam in this man's eye makes it difficult for him to see at all, much less evaluate his brother's spiritual condition. And this judgmental man is a hypocrite. He's turning attention away from the problem in his own life by pointing a finger at others. And you've heard the expression, you point your finger at someone and three fingers are pointing back at you. Rather than correct himself, he critically judges others. And by pointing out problems in others, he hopes to be perceived as someone who is spiritual. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 2. See, the fear of being labeled judgmental has left our culture with a lack of good judgment. There's a scripture in Romans 2, verse 1 to 3. I didn't put it on the overhead here. Romans 2, verses 1 to 3 says, therefore, you have no excuse or justification, every one of you, who hypocritically judges and condemns others. For in passing judgment on another person, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge from a position of arrogance or self-righteousness are habitually practicing the very same things which you denounce. We know that the judgment of God falls justly and in accordance with truth on those who practice such things. I think I might have that one right. But do you think this, O man, that when you judge and condemn those who practice such things, and yet do the same yourself, that you escape God's judgment and elude his verdict? See, a person who is judgmental not only looks for problems in others, but he announces his findings to others. He wants to be conceived as someone who is very spiritual. Did you hear what so-and-so did? I would never do such a thing like that. Now, being judgmental always includes something announcing a guilty verdict. And that's what you call gossip. And that's one of the six deadly sins that the Lord warns us about in Proverbs 6. Yeshua made it very clear that if believers judge with the intent to criticize and condemn, then with that same unmerciful judgment, they will be judged by God. You know, it says in James 4, Jacob, humble yourselves in the sight of God. Do not speak evil against one another. The one who speaks against his brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the Torah and judges the Torah. But if you judge the Torah, you're not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, but who are you who judges your neighbor? So the Word of God forbids a self-righteous, critical, and hypocritical attitude of someone taking the seat of a judge and passing critical judgment on others. And this is the kind of judging that God forbids. But then there's objective judging. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things because we have the mind of Messiah. And this is where we get into the judging that is based upon God's word. He who is spiritual judges all things because we have the mind of Messiah. Sometimes we don't act like we have the mind of Messiah by the way that we behave and the way that we speak to one another. But the fear of being labeled judgmental has left our culture, as I said, with this lack of good judgment. The word judges that Paul used in this scripture in the Greek is called anakrino, and it means to examine by looking throughout, to investigate, to scrutinize, to question. It's okay to question. That's why I love a Messianic congregation. You know, it's good to come to a Messianic congregation because we question a lot of what we've been taught in the past. And it's good to question. It's good to investigate. It's good to discover what God's truth really is. It implies a careful searching out of something and making a decision based on what you have discovered. And that's why the Bereans were a mature people. It says they received the word of God with readiness, with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They didn't just accept things because someone came along and gave a word. They investigated themselves to determine whether what they said was true or not. We know that in 2 Timothy 2, we're said to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this type of judging is scriptural because it's not motivated by a critical attitude, but by a desire to be on the mark doctrinally and to take a stand for truth. It's not a judgment that's based upon one's own personal opinion. It's not based on a person's spiritual background. It's not biased, or it's not motivated by a critical spirit. It's based on the Word of God, because the Word of God is our basis of authority. We can never compromise God's Word. It's based upon the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit, and the fruit. So the Word, the Spirit, and the fruit. The Word of God is our standard. We need the Spirit of God to give us discernment and wisdom in knowing what is true. The gifts of the Spirit can be help us in judging. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits to help us to discern accurately. We can judge someone by their fruit, their actions. It tells us in we're talking about false prophets in our Torah reading today that Nicole read. Yeshua spoke about this in Matthew 7, verse 15. He says, "Watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Grapes aren't gathered from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown in the fire. So then, you will recognize them by their fruit." And so that's really one way that we can judge someone, by their fruit, by their actions, by their deeds, whether they're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Do they demonstrate love and joy and peace in their life? You can determine whether someone is walking in love, whether it's joy in their life, whether there's peace, because if they're filled with fear and anxiety and they're anxious, then you know that there's something wrong in their life, that they're not really walking in the Spirit. You can discern if someone is walking in who is patient with others and kind, someone who does good, who's faithful, who's gentle, who demonstrates self-control. These are things that you can easily discern in a person's life, in their character. The scriptures describe the process that in choosing a shamus or an elder, you know, there are measurable qualifications found in God's word that can be discerned to determine whether someone qualifies to be a leader and whether they are doctrinally sound, stable emotionally, whether they have a good family life, etc. Well, let me just close with a scripture from Romans 2 that we read earlier. Romans chapter 2. And this is the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Because that's where we're in the season of repentance. We're in a month of repentance. And it's God's calling us to get our hearts right with Him and with ourselves and with others. But all begins with repentance. We can't go very far until we repent. We turn away from those things in our life that are quenching and grieving God's Spirit. So this is a time of the year in particular where we as the Messianic community and the Jewish community, as we go through these 40 days, of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur, that we ask God to really search our hearts and to examine if there's anything in our life that is hindering or quenching His Spirit. If we are at odds with someone in our own congregation, with a spouse or with a family member, with whoever it might be, that we have a responsibility, according to God's Word, is demonstrating maturity when we go to that person and we endeavor to make things right, especially in marriages. And we're going to witness this in just a few minutes as Richard and Nicole renew their vows after 25 years. But God wants us to be a people of humility. He wants us to be a people that walk with an attitude of repentance. And so, Lord, we just come before You. And we pray, Lord God, as we are now in the season of Elul, this month of repentance. Lord God, we know that sometimes we can be guilty of judging others in a harsh and a critical way. Lord, put a guard over our tongues. Lord, even as Your Word says, that God, Your kindness leads us to repentance. But because of our hard and unrepentant heart, that we're storing up wrath for ourselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, that He'll pay each person according to his deeds. Father, we just pray, Lord, that we know that one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. Lord, not for sin, but for the deeds that we've done in this life. Lord, may they be good deeds where we would hear your declaration, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in many things. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. Lord, those are the words that we long to hear. And so, Lord, we pray that in this life, God, that You would just begin to purge us and cleanse us during this season of repentance, that we would get serious with You. And we would acknowledge, Father, that we need to repent of any sin in our lives. Lord, the sin of judging others wrongly, with the right wrong attitude. Lord God, forgive us and bring us to a place where we can truly walk with humility and with grace and with love, and to correct those who are in opposition by speaking the truth in love. Lord God, help us to be a congregation that really truly walks in unity, as the song that we sang earlier. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Because, Lord, You command a blessing. You command a blessing when we walk in unity one with another. And so, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, and we praise You for what You're going to do in this season. Lord, help us to sow some good seed in our hearts. So, Lord, that we will reap the benefit, we'll reap a harvest of righteousness and holiness. And we'll reap a harvest, God, where we will see Your blessing poured out in an awesome way. But this wouldn't just be another season that comes and goes. But Lord, it'd be a season that would transform our lives and change us and bring us into a place, God, where we could truly walk with greater fullness of Your Spirit, with a greater love in our hearts. Lord God, with a burden to not be so quick to criticize and judge one another, not to be so quick to find fault with one another. And so, Lord God, help us to have that kind of a heart attitude so we can truly see Your blessing poured out in our lives. In Yeshua's name we pray.